Old Testament reading for this Easter morning is from Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12, and he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Let us rise. Hymn number 459. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace this Easter morning from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter in the Gospel, according to Mark, is slightly different than the others. Not the facts of what happened, or a different in its teaching. The tomb is empty. The women who go to that tomb still see the angel and hear the pronouncement. But in Mark, the reaction cuts off. We don't really know if Mark 16:8 was the intended ending, or if the gospel had a longer ending that was lost. The ending of verse 8 was unsatisfactory enough that some very early copies have added lines. Your Bibles in double brackets to let you know that something is different probably has what is called the long ending. It's basically a summary of the end of Matthew. Other scholars have put forward the thought that we were just very close to losing all of Mark's gospel. There are less ancient copies of it than any of the others. And they'll make an argument that the gospel we have is a book with its last page ripped out. Ultimately, it's one of those arguments that unless some new ancient text turns up, we'll never be able to answer it. It means more to those arguing over the ending of Mark because they think that Mark was the first gospel written. I tend to accept Eusebius's notes that the ancient church historian says that Matthew, same order as they come in our Bible, was the first, which allowed Mark and Luke and John to be more artistic in how they told their story about Jesus, or to fill in the story for specific purposes. And Mark's purpose is existential. His favorite word throughout this gospel is immediately. Life happens fast for Mark. New events are constantly pressing against us. Conflicts arise, and how they are going to resolve themselves isn't always clear until it's very clear. That cross would seem to put an emphatic end to the hopes and dreams of the salad days of Galilee. We've been there, cleaning up the mess of a vanished hope, still close enough to some dream to remember it, but living in the grief of its death. Everything feels like it weighs twice as much. Our powerlessness against the larger facts translates into powerlessness in much smaller things. The only things we do are those we can't get out of. When the Sabbath was passed, something they couldn't get out of. Mary Magdalene and Mary of James and Salome take spices to anoint the body of Jesus, another thing they can't get out of. And along the way, they were feeling that weight. How will we roll away the stone? Maybe we can get out of this, mixed with one more element of powerlessness, those stones that block the way. But this morning was different. The women approach the tomb and they see that that stone, that large obstacle, has already been removed. And they enter that tomb, that thing that swallowed their hopes, and instead of a corpse, they see what Mark calls a young man dressed all in white. I don't know why our translators chose alarmed at this point. It's not completely wrong, but if they were applying consistent words, it would have been marveled or frightened. That combination of being scared witless, and like almost all angels ever seen in the scriptures, this angel's first words were, "Don't be that. Don't be scared witless." Easier said than done in the presence of holiness when you are expecting death. In the presence of light when you are expecting the dark. So the man in white fills in. "You seek Jesus, the crucified one. He's not here. He's risen." "Oh, really?" "Yes, really. Look, see the place where they laid him. He's risen." The dream isn't dead, but it's alive. The chief priests and Pilate and the mob and everything that seems so powerful isn't, because he's risen. Sin and Satan and that really big one, death, those things that we can't seem to do anything about, they couldn't hold him. He's risen. Look at where they laid him. He's not there. It's all true. The incarnation, the Messiah, the forgiveness, the grace, the love of the Father for you. He's risen. This morning is different. But because this morning is different, we are different. We aren't powerless, even if we feel like it. We aren't stuck, even if we feel like it. Hope is not gone. He's risen. And the man in white gives these women, the first of the evangelized, the mission. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. Hope is alive. And because hope is alive, we have a responsibility. We have a calling to live it. To live like we have hope. We have a calling to tell others what that hope is. We have to leave the tomb. We have to go back to life. And that's terrifying. The chief priests are still out there. Pilate is still out there. Everything that made me feel powerless is still out there. Sin is still out there. We still have to face death. I'm already here in this tomb. We came for a reason. Are you telling me to go back out there? To face all of that? To live again? To hold on to hope when I've already let it go? That's hard. No wonder they went out and fled from the tomb, trembling and full of terror. They said nothing to nobody because they were afraid. But he's risen. This morning is different. We are different. If we take courage and believe, that's the existential purpose of Mark. He knew that we already know the rest of the story. Mark knows that we've read Matthew and that these three grabbed that hope and told Peter and John and all of the rest. We know that Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome overcame their fear. But do we? Do we stay in our sins because changing is terrifying? Do we give in to powerlessness and nihilism and complaint because staying in the tomb is a depressing norm? And living is just too scary. Do we go silent, even to our closest friends? Because sharing the hope that lives in us causes us to tremble. He is risen. Death has no lasting grip on us unless we allow it. Take courage. Live the life, the eternal life that he's bought us. This morning is different. Amen.